Now, the third response, I call the passive accommodating stance. Now, this is characteristic of most mainline Protestant traditions in Europe and North America. And after the Second Vatican Council, and I'll return to that council in a moment, after the Second Vatican Council from 1963 to 1965, it is also the stance of Roman Catholicism, especially in the United States. The passive accommodating stance seeks a positive engagement with modernity. That is, it accepts the fact that the Enlightenment has happened, that political revolution has overturned the establishment of Christianity, and that, in fact, Enlightenment is not bad. Tolerance is better than intolerance. Natural science is a good thing. Historical inquiry is a good thing. And so it accepts modernity, but also wants to maintain loyalty to the heart of the Christian ethos. It wants to be truly Christian, but change, if you will, or adapt to the times. The difficulty with this is that it's extraordinarily hard, after all this long history, to figure out what is the heart of the Christian ethos. What parts of Christianity must faithfully be adhered to, and which parts of it can we let go in order to sort of be pertinent or relevant to the contemporary age. So in mainline Protestantism today, in Roman Catholicism today, in first world countries, we find the use of the critical study of the Bible. That is, scholars are educated and they approach the Bible not as literally true and inerrant in every respect, but as true perhaps metaphorically, symbolically, religiously, but not necessarily historically. And they engage the text with critical intelligence, which is really the way that modernity engages texts. Nevertheless, what distinguishes this group is a deep desire to be loyal to the religious message of Christianity, trying to hold on to the fundamentals while trying to negotiate the non-essentials. The final posture is what I call the active accommodating response. And this is found in Europe and North America among the most liberal Protestant groups, like Unitarians. In this posture, and this is sort of the continuation of the deist tradition that I talked about earlier, in this response, modernity sets the framework and Christianity tries to find a place as best it can. This may sound a lot like the passive accommodating stance, but it really is different. In the passive accommodating stance, there is the claim of equal loyalty to both and trying to negotiate. In the active accommodation, it is assumed that modernity and modernity's understanding of reason and of the world is correct, and Christianity has to find a place within that. And so you find then, with regard to the reading of the Bible, for example, that this posture really emphasizes those parts of Scripture that are dangerous for people. You know, those parts that are bad for women, those parts that are, you know, bad for people and damage and injure people. And so reading Scripture is something of a salvage operation, trying to find those bits that are still worth considering, even though a lot of it has to be jeopardized. This kind of approach has paradoxically been very much identified with certain Anglican bishops, such as J.A.T. Robinson in his infamous book, Honest to God, which pretty much threw overboard a great deal of biblical revelation, or even more recently, the Bishop of Newark, John Spong, who takes the position that the New Testament is fundamentally erroneous and that Christianity has to redefine itself on the basis of historical investigation. This is the posture taken by the Jesus Seminar and by a lot of historical Jesus research. Notice how the historical Jesus project is precisely the project of modernity. We want to recover and discover a historical Jesus, not the one revealed in Scripture, and that Christianity has to kind of reinvent itself on the basis of that empirically derived figure.